Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You're listening to Kicking the Chiriarchy, the original intersectional feminist podcast that aims to provide a platform to voices, stories, and narratives that are traditionally ignored by the mainstream. We are in the thick of exploring sexuality, and I'm so glad that you've decided to join us for this chat today. Last time, we spoke to Lana about being pansexual and all about her experiences of coming out, being from a working class Anglo-Indian family, and how all of these identities intersected with her identity of being pansexual. If this sounds like a bit of you and you're interested in learning a bit more about it, go find that episode right now, take your phone out, hit back, you can carry on listening to this one at the same time, find Lana and hit download, and you can listen to it right after you've done this one. For this episode, we are going to be exploring bisexuality, and in particular, what it's like for a woman of colour to be bisexual and from a working class background. We'll be debunking myths and stereotypes like, oh, bisexuality is just one stop to being gay, and bisexual people are greedy, and it's not a real sexuality. We'll be chatting about coming out and erasure of identity, and all about mental health and bisexuality. So, enough of me, let's meet the amazing Aaliyah.
So my name is Aaliyah. I identify as a bisexual mixed race woman. I'm working class and I love pizza.
Nice. Little nugget there. Yeah, I like it.
Love a bit of pizza.
Yeah, exactly. Don't we all? Thank you so much for coming on the podcast this episode to kind of chat about exploring sexuality, and in particular for this one, bisexuality. So to kick us off, I guess my first question is, what is bisexuality?
So I think it's sexuality in general, it's subjective, but my personal description of it would be being attracted to both men and women. That would be the bog standard, but there are so many different elements to that as well.
Right. And so then what's been your journey then to find that label for yourself?
So in general, when I was growing up, I never really fancied anyone. I always thought to myself, oh, I must be a lesbian, because I didn't fancy any of the boys in my year. I had like a small crush on a boy a few years above me, but nothing compared to my friends, all going out with boys. And I was like, just didn't have any interest in this. So I was like, I must be gay, even though I had no interest in anyone. Yeah. Full stop. When I was about 17, I dated a boy for like 9 months through peer pressure. I didn't really like him that much, but I liked him as a person. And then once again, just didn't date anyone until I was about, like, I saw a boy when I was at university, liked him. It was like, okay, it was chill, but nothing really came of it. Then whilst I was seeing that boy, or kind of dabbling in that boy, I met my current girlfriend now. And then it was literally like love at first sight. So cringe, but it was like, oh my God, this is literally what I've been looking for.
Yeah.
It's so lame, but it was like, then I was like, okay, so this is what I should be, this is how I should be feeling. And I still look at guys and I can appreciate men and I find them attractive, and I would never write them off anyway, because I've been there before and I could be there again. But right now I'm in a same-sex relationship, have been now for nearly 3 years. And yeah, so my relationship with my own sexuality has always been a bit of a internalized thing, like in my head. Never really discussed it with anyone, because it just wasn't something I needed to discuss. But as I got older and I just realized that, oh, you know, it doesn't matter whether I like anyone or not. But then I found someone and I was like, okay, so maybe I'm bi, because I've liked guys a little bit and I've liked this one girl. So boom. Bisexual. That's like, I think that's the one thing that kind of out of all the sexuality is something I probably resonate with the most.
when you were younger, why didn't you feel that you could like explore your sexuality or talk about it?
I don't know. Like, in general, it was just nothing really to discuss. Or people around me, everyone was straight. It was straight, or then sometimes when you were at school, like in secondary school, there would be one girl who'd come out as bi, and everyone would be like, oh my God, like crazy. And because I was just always around straight people, and I just never felt maybe that there could be an option that I was potentially like a little bit queer, you know? I thought, okay, I must be gay because at the end of the day, I don't fancy boys. But then I realised I didn't fancy girls either, or from my, like, I'd never been in a crushy way to anyone.
Yeah.
So you just assume. And then for me, because it was never an issue, it wasn't really an issue to me. So I just felt like there was no need to discuss it with anyone else. And my family, like, they were pretty liberal anyway, but it just never came up as come up in discussion. Everyone around me was just like, boy crazy. And I was just, oh yeah, like, I just didn't want to bring that into an issue, you know? Sometimes I don't want to make an issue out of something if there isn't an issue to be made of.
And so then, since you've, I guess, claimed the label bisexual, bisexuality for yourself, what's been your experience, you know, with your close ones around you with that?
Mm-hmm. So for the most part, everyone has been like pretty accepting, you know. I've never had, like, thankfully, you know, I can't, for most people, I know sometimes it's not as easy sailing. Like, my family have always been really accepting of it. My friends have always been like, oh, so Leah didn't like anyone. That makes a lot of sense now. She's dating a girl. So, but for the most part, it's always been pretty accepting, though I know that experience is like, I'm privileged in that sense that not everyone has that welcoming experience, you know?
Yeah, because I mean, you wrote an article for Galdem about like the silent B and LGBT. So can you talk to us a little bit about like the invisibility of being bisexual?
100%.
So community.
It always feels like, so I was saying this to my girlfriend, like, we don't really go to like queer events or like LGBTQ plus events because we always feel like there isn't a place for us there. When you go to these events, often or not, there seems to be almost like a torch or magnifying glass on everyone else but the bee, and it feels awkward. So I remember once I went to an event on my own just because I was actually doing research for a little film I was making, and there was a girl there, and she approached me, and she just automatically assumed, one, I was straight, which is, I get that a lot, cause I suppose I don't necessarily fit, you know, the stereotypical, you know, queer woman, which is fair enough. I'm just accepting of that. But I told her, no, I've got a girlfriend. And she was just like, she get on this tirade of like, oh, it must be a phase. Like, are you here for attention? And I'm just like, no, like, it's not a phase. It's been nearly 3 years now, you know. And sometimes it feels like a little bit, you do feel a little bit invisible. Like, for the most part, people around me have always been really accepting, but the people you think would be the most accepting would be other like-minded individuals. And for the most part, everyone has been, but there have been cases where I do just feel a little bit isolated. And then when people say to you, how do you identify? You know, my sexuality would never come really first in that, you know, because there hasn't been a community there for me. And it would be lovely if it was the case, but it's not something I feel like, it doesn't keep me up at night.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I know there are people like myself who are in similar situations who really crave a community in somewhere that they can kind of be there unapologetically themselves, you know? And sometimes within the LGBTQ community, there just isn't. People just think it's a phase. Bisexuality is like not a legitimate sexuality, and it can be embarrassing. Like, I'm definitely guilty of just saying, oh yeah, I'm a lesbian, because you just don't want to deal with the drama behind it.
People, the eye rolls,
you know, like, oh yeah, of course you're bi, you know, everyone's bi. It's either bi now, gay later, or you're going through a phase and it's not like not serious, and I can't be bothered with the hassle.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, people thinking like it's just like a either like the next stop to gay town, or like you said, just being a phase. You know, you're just experimenting and being young. I mean, you've said that, I guess, that you've never really felt the need to really maybe go to super queer or LGBT spaces or events. Do you maybe wish that some had been more available to you, or that you did feel more welcome in them?
Yes and no. If there were more available for people like myself, I would be 100% down for it and just feeling accepted. But you do, there is like, I don't know whether it's a thing of me being bi or me being presenting a certain way, you know. If you look at people my age, you know, the 19 to 25 bracket, a lot of queer women or just LGBTQ people in general present themselves in a certain way, and necessarily I might not conform to that sort of archetype.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you do stick out like a sore thumb. You do look like the straight person in a queer event who's there for their friend.
Yeah.
And I just can't handle that hassle, and it's like having to constantly validate yourself and like, oh no, I'm actually, you know, been with a woman now for like 3 years, and there is that like sort of all that duality of just being like, can I be bothered for this hassle, or should I just stay at home and go to like a straight club instead? And then that comes with its own hassles. Yeah. Anyway. And then yeah, it's just a tricky situation. Like if there was events like that, or just environments where I felt more comfortable, 100%, because I think there is nothing better than having a community that's for you and created by people like yeah. you. But at the same time, I think I'm in a position in my life where it's not a life and death situation. It's not gonna shape me any further than it has now. But yeah. I know had I been in a situation like that maybe 3 or 4 years ago when I was kind of exploring my sexuality, it would have been incredible. But now it's give or take.
Right. So now that you're comfortable with mm-hmm. your sexuality, you found your partner, you know who you are, there isn't so much of a need for a space like that necessarily anymore. But that would have been beneficial, you know, when you were younger, maybe when mm-hmm. you had more questions. And I think like I definitely see that in like you said, how there are a lot of clear spaces for like lesbians mm-hmm. and for gay men, and anything for like bisexual people tends to fall to the wayside, and there isn't such a community for it. But it is a very real sexuality, and it should,
100%,
and it should yeah. be taken seriously as such. Why do you think that's the case? Why do people not take bisexuality seriously?
God knows. Literally, I think about it a lot because it is one of the fastest growing sexualities in the UK, and I think it's a thing of so many stereotypes attached to it. It's hard to shift them. And I think if you like men, or you like just women or just men, you're seen as gay or as lesbian, and that's valid. But the idea of having options, like options, and I use the quote marks, you know, it stuns people. And I just don't think they're used to it and they're completely accepting of it. They see you as confused. And I don't know, like I can't understand why it's hard for people to understand why people are bisexual. They don't see it as a legit sexuality. But the only thing I can probably gather is that maybe just having the thought of people liking multiple people, like not at once, but multiple sexualities or multiple genders, is really hard for people to kind of like get their heads around.
Do you ever, you know, come across like stereotypes of being told that you're greedy?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So like tell me about that. What has been like, how have you experienced that?
So more often than not, there's a lot of stereotypes or just stupid things that have been told to me. So it's either I'm greedy or I'm confused or I'm super super hypersexualized. Like everyone thinks you're up for a threesome at all times, and that is so far away from my personality. I couldn't think of anything worse. In fact, I actually have a friend who is still convinced I'm gonna be gay later, because I was never really like open about sexual things with guys or women. It's just not who I am. She is still convinced that, oh, do you know what, Aaliyah, you say you're bi, but I definitely think you're gay. And I'm like, okay, if that makes you feel comfortable, go with it. But I'm not going to sit here and try and validate my sexuality to you just so it makes you feel more comfortable.
Yeah. And so has it helped you finding a label to be like, yes, I'm bi?
Mm-hmm.
Does that...
No. You know, I think labels are there, I think, for the most part, to make other people feel more comfortable. Trying to say that, you know, we were saying before, like, if I said I was queer, you know, for people in the office, you know, they wouldn't really get what queer means, or they don't really understand. And then for me, saying bisexual is a universal term that everyone just kind of gets. And although sometimes I don't feel comfortable saying, there have been times, where I've been like, does bisexual really summarize who I am? But I'm like, you know what, fuck it. It makes other people feel more comfortable, so let's just go with it. And that's how I just see it. I know who I am. I know who I love and like who I'm attracted to. And it doesn't make any difference in the type of person I am. But for the most part, I truly believe that labels are there to make other people feel more comfortable. And sometimes labels can help you kind of find clarity in the mm-hmm. person you are. But I've never found that clarity with any label.
Right.
Yeah, but I think bisexual is just, for the most part, it's just... okay, that's it, bog standard, and right. everyone else can be happy. And it kind of trying to explain to your friends, okay, that now I'm seeing a woman, and they're like, so Elia, what are you? And then it's like you get put on the spot and you're like, okay, so what do I say? And then bisexual came out of my mouth and I've just been going with it since.
It must be really frustrating then to have an identity, yeah, that you're constantly needing to put a label on for other people to understand.
Yeah, it is confusing and it's just, it is a bit long.
Yeah.
But I've just come to terms that with, when you're attracted to both, like to multiple genders, it is just part and parcel of it. And I think most sexualities come with their trials and tribulations, and this is just one of them.
Does it give you any kind of anxiety whenever someone says to you, so Elia, what are you?
Oh yeah, yeah, 100%. It gives me so much anxiety, especially if I'm around other queer people or like LGBTQ people. I often just feel like saying I'm a lesbian because it just makes me feel a lot more, I feel like they probably think, okay, so you're a lesbian, you know what you are. I always have that anxiety in my head that when you tell people you're bi, they think you're just confused or you're going through a phase. And that gives me a little bit of anxiety. Like, yeah. I don't even mention it at work. People are, oh, what are you doing this weekend? And I still get to a point where I just don't really tell people I'm seeing my girlfriend or not, because they're like, oh, Elia, I didn't know. Or, and then it just becomes a conversation that I'm just not really, yeah, not bothered to have, you know? And like, some people are there to, like, I'm not here to teach anyone, you know? I just want to live my life. Like,
yeah.
Just living my life. And then, yeah, but for the most part, it does give me a little bit of anxiety. Especially when people say, oh, so what are you? You just feel tense because it is like, I have to, yeah, I said to you before, I've definitely been guilty of saying to people, oh, yeah, I'm lesbian, just to have that, just not have the eye rolls and the, oh, are you sure? Like, you don't look, yeah. Or, yeah.
Feels more definite.
Yeah, you know, it does feel more definite. When you say you're a lesbian or you're X, Y, and Z, it always feels more definite when you're saying bisexual, because it comes with such a string of just stereotypes attached to it that I'm aware of, and I shouldn't, like, when I say I'm not bi, or when I'm lying, or even just my thoughts about bisexuality, it plays into those stereotypes, and I just, yeah, why should I feel so concerned about that? But it's just the case.
Has this ever been an issue with you and your partner, or you and your girlfriend? Like, mm-hmm. Is she bi?
Right, so this is, once again, I think we're in a similar boat. She's probably, like, dabbled a bit more with women than I have, you know? But she's never been in a relationship with women until myself. She would classify herself as bisexual.
Right.
But it's, like, one of those things, again, she would say, maybe if we ever broke up, she's not sure if she would go out with another woman, because she's not sure if she's attracted to women in general or if it's just me. And I'm just like, it's true, you just don't know. And I think, yeah, that's what sexuality is about. It is so fluid, you know. You might just fancy that one girl, but you're still, like, you are still, or whatever you want to be. Like, I would say I'm still bi, but you are who you want to be. So, yeah, if you want to say that one relationship you had when you were 25 to 30 was with a woman, and then after that you never date a woman again, you know, are you still bi? Are you not? You know, I think that's up to you to decide.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think we were kind of talking about it before we started recording, how your girlfriend said, if we were to break up, I don't know if I would be with another woman, just because I don't know if it's just you happen to be someone that I fancy who also happens to be a woman.
Yeah.
And I think I feel the same thing. You know, when I think about being with me and my girlfriend, I really fancy her.
Yeah.
And I really love being with her, but I don't look at other women.
At all. That's like myself. Like, I literally just don't. But that's the thing. I don't look at other women and think, oh my God, I want to get in your bed.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want to be your friend. I want to know where you got your clothes from.
Exactly.
I want
to. And it makes me wonder, had we been brought up in a more gender neutral society, maybe, or if we were taught to look at gender and sexuality with a bit more fluidity, whether that would be different. When I look at women and I'm like, oh, she's really cool, I want to be her friend, maybe actually I do fancy her,
mm-hmm,
but I'm confusing those feelings with, oh, I want to be her friend, because I've been socialized, mm-hmm, to not find women attractive.
Yeah.
And maybe I have the same feelings for men. I look at men and I'm like, oh, I fancy him, but in actuality I just think he's cool.
Yeah, you want to be his friend, like,
right.
But because you're conditioned to see men a certain way and women another way, there's like a fine blurred line.
Yeah. And the reason I ask about your partner is just because sometimes within queer relationships, there can be a bit of like erasure of sexuality, especially if one of you is bisexual, one of you has been with other genders before and the other one hasn't, or one of you is definitely like a lesbian, or, mm-hmm, is definite. Because I've found that sometimes with being with my girlfriend, and it can sometimes be quite difficult, I guess, because I guess none of us are immune to thinking about stereotypes. You know, mm-hmm, she can be like, well, you know, you've been with men before, why would you not go be with men now? You know, is this just a phase? So I guess it can bring about issues in relationships. You mentioned how bisexuality is on the rise in terms of people identifying with it. Why do you think that is?
World is becoming a little more accepting, and I think people are just becoming a little more open because of the, there obviously is so many strings attached to being bisexual and so many stereotypes, but within that same breath, the world is becoming a lot more open. There's such a long way to go in terms of progression, but we're getting better. You know, being bisexual, being gay, being a lesbian, being trans doesn't hold so much of a stigma attached to it as if you were this 10 or 15 years ago. So I probably think it's because people are just becoming a lot more open and seeing, and you know, gender as well is becoming so much more fluid. You know, it's, the world is changing, and I think people are growing and adapting with it. And I always say, had we grown up in a society where there weren't so many restrictions, so many rigid sort of forms for us, we would be more exposed to being attracted to multiple genders. But because of the way we are and the way society's conditioned us to be, it's just not the case.
Yeah, definitely. It totally makes sense that people would be wanting to experiment with their gender or with their sexuality. I mean, it's important to note that gender and sexuality are very different things. Yeah. You know, just because you're experimenting with your sexuality doesn't have any bearing on your gender identity
whatsoever.
Exactly. And it is kind of a little bit weird that that whole acronym is thrown together, you know, like
100%. Like, if you're a little bit more masculine, you must be a lesbian, you know. That's why it's annoying, because I think it's so hard to be a deviant from those stereotypes. They are looked as like an anomaly, and like, what do we do with you? You know, what are you? Like, where do you sit in this spectrum that we know? But it's such a broad spectrum that you can flow anywhere and you can move. You don't have to be that same person you were 10 years ago. People evolve and people change, and that's perfectly fine.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about your identity as a mixed race woman and how that intersects with your identity with being bisexual and your sexuality. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. So I think from my experience, you know, when you're growing up in, you know, West Indian household, so both my parents are mixed race, both English and Jamaican. Just in general, there are so many like stereotypes attached, you know. Like, Jamaica is like notoriously, you know, homophobic, you know, and that has always been a bit of a, it's been very scary, like just being in that environment and just being wary of the fact that, you know, you are a queer woman, you know, being bisexual. Luckily enough, I am from a family who just accepted me wholeheartedly, but there have been situations where I've been skeptical about telling other members of my family because I know maybe their partners' opinions on it. And I think sometimes as well, people think that you can catch sexuality. Like, if you're exposed to being with a lesbian or a gay person, like, automatically, you know, you might be susceptible to changing. And that has always been really fearful of me. Like, that sometimes it's an ignorant point of view. Yeah. But when you're in an environment that people believe that, it can be quite a daunting experience, especially with like your friends, you know. Once again, a lot of my friends are either Afro-Caribbean, and there has been that stereotype. And when initially like telling people that, okay, I'm now seeing a girl, it was very, very scary because you don't have that flexibility. Yeah. When like, when a lot of religion comes into it as well, you know, people have their own presumptions. People want to keep their distance. Like, I had a friend, we were really, really close, and she's from a very strict Muslim household. And I think when she kind of found out, she definitely kind of like distanced herself away from me, and which was like quite a shame. But I think because of the environment I grew up in, and, you know, there is so much like homophobia in African and Caribbean households and just the community in general, that has always been quite a sticky situation. But that being said, I know I'm probably one of the lucky ones who haven't experienced it on like an extreme level. So I'm always really grateful for that. Mm. But I can't say the same for everyone else.
Yeah.
But being a mixed race woman, I think generally, people of colour, women of colour, their bodies are always hypersexualized as it is, you know. And I think when you add bisexuality in the mix, you're literally like someone's wet dream, and that can be really uncomfortable at times, you know. You already see my body as like being a hypersexualized figure, and then when you add a sexuality that is often considered, you know, hypersexual, it's like a melting pot of a disaster.
Yeah. Is that unsettling?
Very unsettling. I think, especially from situations where me and my girlfriend have been out in like a club, and like a guy might approach me, and you say to him, "Oh, sorry, I'm not like not interested." He'll be like, "Oh, so you don't have a boy? You have a boyfriend then?" I'm like, "No, actually, my girlfriend's sitting right there." All of a sudden, it's an invitation for a threesome, And it's always like a thing of sometimes you feel embarrassed to tell people you've got a girlfriend or you're bisexual because of the stereotypes attached to it, especially when it's another person of colour. They probably think, oh, what was she doing? Where's her dad? Like, you know, there's always right. like, there's always like, oh, so was you around women too much or was you around men too much? Like, it's always that sort of, there's always questioning about it, and it's never just, my sexuality is my sexuality. There's always like a deeper meaning to it. You can't just exist the way you want to exist. There's always something going on the outside, but it's just the case. I'm just who I am. And there's yeah. There hasn't been any, you know, no man has like made me fall in love with women. And everyone's always like, oh, so what kind of man like hurt you? And you're like, no one, I'm just here. Like,
yeah. Exactly. It's not a result of a man. No. It's weird, isn't it?
It's so annoying. Why does everything got to be about men?
Yeah, exactly.
In every situation, it's always like, oh, so who's the man in the relationship? And I'm like, none. There is no man in this situation. But why do men, or just people in general, because other women are guilty of doing it as well. Like, why do men have to be involved in everything? It's very jarring.
This literally has nothing to do with men, patriarchy, masculinity whatsoever. Mm-mm. And they still find some way
to bring it about back at them.
To like weave their way into the narrative. Like,
listen, just two girls loving each other, but why do you have to bring yourself into that? Like, yeah. You know, can't we just exist?
Yeah, exactly. Well, exactly. Can we not exist without having any bearing, or you having a bearing on our identity, mm-hmm. whether that's in a positive way or a negative way, you know? Why do you think that is then, that there can be homophobia in, I mean, there can be homophobia in every yeah. community, mm-hmm. right? And that's important to stress. But, you know, you've said particularly in African Caribbean communities. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
For the most part, in any African and Caribbean household, religion is like the most, it's at the core of it. And religion, being gay, is just the worst thing ever. And that, it's just like relays back onto it generation and generation. You know, you can't get rid of these core values and traditions that you've been ingrained in, and it's really hard to unlearn certain behaviours. You know, when we were growing up, like with my friends and stuff, you would say things so flippantly because, you know, that was fine. Like, you know, people say, oh, that's so gay, you yeah. know, or just being like, if a guy liked certain thing, he was definitely gay. Like, there was no scope for seeing out of that picture. But I always say religion is the forefront of probably why being gay or being LGBT in an African and Caribbean community is just so frowned upon, because religion is the core of our identity. Not my identity personally, but for the most part, most people's.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not an expert in the history of religion, and particularly in an African Caribbean setting, but I wonder if it is important to at least like show a nod to the colonial influence.
100%. Literally, without a doubt. You know, for the most part, these religions wouldn't have even been exposed to them had, you know, not like, you know, they'd been forced upon us, you know. Yeah. So I think that definitely, and it has like a long lasting effect, you know. And I think when often there's a lot of criticism on, you know, black men being very like hyper masculine and being homophobic, you know, but when that thing has been forced upon you and it's all you know, it is very hard to unlearn that sort of behaviour. I mean, it's no excuse, you know. We're living in a changing world and you need to get with the times. But at the same time, when you've been like indoctrinated to know something in a certain case, you can't have a go at people. You need to unlearn behaviours, and it's a slow process, but it can 100% be done. I've seen it happen, you yeah. know. African and Caribbean communities probably wouldn't have that, you know, inherent homophobia if that religion wasn't forced upon them to begin with. Like, you're none the wiser. Yeah. But then within that same breath, you know, when black men are often called out on homophobic like remarks they've made, I also think it's a sticky line, because, you know, if it's all you've known and it's something you've been forced upon, just because you've progressed and gone that, it's very hard to undo the shackles of slavery yeah. and post-colonialism. You know, it's done, and it's like it's a constant behavior. So I think, although there are certain things I'm like, why did you say that? Like, so stupid. But I have to be aware that not everyone is exposed to a liberal environment. You know, not everyone's exposed to, not even like, I don't want to say it in a really weird way. It's like, oh, education. But sometimes being exposed to different types of people, reading things, watching things, having that exposure can make you more of a well-rounded person. And if you're not exposed to stuff like that, it's all you know. So these like toxic behaviours and opinions, they can be unlearned. And I always think there's always room for progression. And I think even when you have cases of men's like male celebrities, you know, tweets resurfacing using like really inherently homophobic language, I'm like, disgusting. I'm never condone it, but at the same time I have to acknowledge that it's growth, and like in the black community homophobia is inherent, and if that person was said like some really shitty stuff like 7 years ago and they're a completely different person now, you have to kind of applaud the growth it takes, because trying to be a well-rounded person in a black community can be very difficult, because there are so, you get shunned for trying to be like, you know, more of a well-rounded person, you know, that for so long if you wanted to be, you know, express your sexuality or even just your gender, you'd be classed as gay. You know, you can't be emotional and be black man. You're classed as gay or you're feminine, and you get discredited for that. So I think it's worth always be held accountable for what you've said, but at the same time acknowledge growth can happen, and it's a constant thing. It's never going to be completely, you know, I don't expect things to get fantastically better and the world to change and to be a pot of like rainbows and happiness, but at the same time acknowledging people's growth I think is almost as important as acknowledging where they've fucked up as well.
Absolutely, and that's such a good point to make.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Like you said, it's all a journey, right? Mm-hmm. You know, nobody is like born with all this knowledge of mm-hmm. different cultures and different experiences and how different people experience the world differently. And we're all guilty of, at one point in time, holding probably problematic views.
Definitely.
Or saying problematic slurs, you know. But if you berate people for that, that's never going to be productive, you know. And I think that's a big thing in like call out culture, mm-hmm. you know, calling people out really like harshly, when it's like the journey to go from that place to becoming more well-rounded as a person is one that should be applauded mm-hmm. and not taken for granted either.
Yeah, but definitely. Still hold people accountable for the shitty things they've said, you 100%. Know, don't ever make excuses. But at the same time, know your experiences where you've grown up are completely different to someone else's. So yeah. You might have been exposed to, you know, gay men and gay women and different types of sexualities, and that was the norm for you. Yeah. For a lot of other people, it just wasn't. And once, yeah, just reiterating the fact that, you know, growth can happen and it should be encouraged.
Absolutely. So I want to talk a little bit about the mental health experiences mm-hmm. of bisexual people, because you mentioned this in your article. You know, you said bisexual people are at an increased risk of suffering from mental health mm-hmm. issues. Can you tell us about this?
Yeah, so the American University did a study which basically showed that they did a study on over 500 people, which basically showed that bisexual men and women are far more likely to suffer with anxiety and depression. And they did a little bit of research just kind of exploring their space in the LGBTQ community. And there was no space, essentially. And there's increasing fears of loneliness and isolation because no one understands them. And when you're alone and you feel like no one gets you or no one really understands your struggles, it's inevitable. You know, it's inevitable to start feeling alone and depressed and anxious about just being who you are. And I don't know, like, to me, it's shocking because there needs to be a space for the B in LGBT. And at the moment, I don't feel like the rest of the LGBT community is doing enough to support the B in their journeys and just in their struggles. I think so often, as I said before, there can be a magnifying glass on different elements of that. And I think 100% everyone always needs to have their story told and explored. But I also feel like the B is often just isolated. And I've seen it so many different times. If a woman like myself is dating a woman now, and then in a few years' time I'm with a man, we get, you know, almost like punished. You know, think, oh, she wasn't real anyway. And then I can still give you like a complex about being who you are. I have had experiences where my straight friends have had, like, literally not even friends, a friend who said something really shitty about my sexuality. But for the most part, whenever it's been like a little bit of shade on my sexuality, it's always been done from someone from the LGBTQ community. And that is like really sad, because you should know what it feels like to be isolated. But it's a cycle.
And then on top of that, if we add another layer to this, you know, if we add class to this.
100%,
you know, you mentioned yourself that you're working class. Then we've got to talk about, I mean, the pressures of being working class, mm-hmm. but then access to mental health treatment. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I just think it's a cycle. And that's why I think a lot of bisexual people do suffer from mental health issues, because if you feel isolated, and for example, let's take my own situation into consideration, bisexual women, also working class, you know, I don't have as much access to mental health care as, let's say, my middle class peers. You know, they can probably afford it. I would have to wait on a waiting list, which I have. You know, I've done, I was in therapy last year for depression and anxiety. And to me, I was lucky because I got to see it. Like, I got it on the list quite quickly. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there are people out there who have mental health issues, and they don't have a community to support them as being a bisexual person. They don't have access to mental health to kind of help them gauge through the struggles they're going through. And at the same time, if you add like race to the mix, yeah. you know, you're completely isolated. So when your ethnicity plays a role into that as well, your community, your cultural community isolates you. When your own LGBTQ community isolates you and you have no access to support in any way, shape or form, it can be a very lonely experience. And I can only imagine, no wonder why the like mental health issues on bisexual people are on the rise.
Right. And then I guess the mental health issues for women of colour.
Yeah.
And queer women of colour, you probably need more nuanced mm-hmm. help as well. And that's not cheap.
It's not cheap, and it doesn't come. Like, you don't find it anywhere. If you try to get on the NHS, they would tell you, don't be fussy and get who you're given.
But exactly. I'm not a woman of colour, so I don't know what it's like to access mental health, especially on the NHS. Mm-hmm. But you know, these are very real experiences that have a real impact on your mental health. And then when that's not reflected in the mental health help that you're getting, mm-hmm. this probably can only compound.
And like almost like tumble and like gain more weight. And
exactly.
then it just becomes more of a heavy load to kind of carry, you know. It's not an easy, like, I don't want to be like, oh, you know, pity party.
No.
But it's not an easy thing to kind of like dapple with. You know, I think if you've got so many different elements of your identity that all kind of contradict and don't, like, no support system, it's inevitable that mental health is going to be on the rise, and there needs to be some sort of support. And you know, you can't bear all of the weight on the NHS, you know. It's, and you can't demand, okay, I see another black woman or see another black gay woman to, you know, help me through my therapy.
Right.
But you can create communities. There can be communities there for to support one another. And I think that does enough as well. You know, end of the day, having a little party or an event where other like-minded individuals are there, it won't cure your depression,
yeah.
it won't cure your anxiety, but it will make it a lot easier yeah. and a little less lonely.
Yeah, and it's also worth noting one thing that I was thinking about. If you're LGBT, it's important for you to find your community, mm-hmm. right? And then on top of that, if you're working class or you live in poverty, you have to be able to have access to these communities. And we already know,
got to pay to get in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, you have to acknowledge that, you know, if you live in London, you have a certain degree of privilege, I guess, because London is very cosmopolitan, but it's also prohibitively expensive, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then if you live outside of London and you live in a more rural area, chances are those communities won't be there. So you have to travel to those communities. So there's a physical element of isolation in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to feel mentally isolated, but then there's to feel mentally isolated and physically.
Yeah, I can't even imagine what it would feel to be like that. You know, I'm lucky enough to live in London and have
right.
access to that.
Which I guess is then why sometimes online communities
form.
Are so important
yeah.
and form, because they, I guess, transcend barriers of class and a certain level of privilege, because, you know, all you need is an internet connection, mm-hmm. and you can get on Twitter or you can get on some blogs or, you know, like the article that you wrote for Gowden, which I'm sure, I mean, for me, really, I know it's not aimed at people like me, you know, as a white woman. That's why I guess it's important to encourage and to see media like this out there, because there are a whole host of communities out there that need to be served, and it's probably an underserved community.
Without a doubt.
But I guess what I want to know is it all doom and gloom? Mm-hmm. And what kind of practical takeaways are there for people who might be like you, so young women of colour who have questions about their sexuality? What can they do? And also, what can I do as an ally, as a white woman?
So three questions. It's not all doom and gloom. First question. Advice for people like myself, women like myself, I would just say keep on pushing, because eventually you're going to get to a point where, even though I would always encourage a community space, that isn't the case for everyone. You know, sometimes you don't have access, but online communities are so important. And it's weird because a lot of my friends, you know, queer and not queer, you know, I've made them online, and I think it's so important. There's no barriers online, you know, you can kind of, like, you're free to speak and just kind of be who you want to be. And I think trying to find a home on an online community is, I couldn't stress the importance enough. If you were isolated and you weren't in London, you know, you don't have access to this metropolitan city, then an online community is the best way. And I just always say, sounds so cheesy, but like staying true to yourself and being kind of unapologetic, easy for me to say because I'm in a place where I'm a lot more comfortable now. But as I said to you, I was so guilty before. I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm a lesbian, you know, just to make everyone else feel comfortable. But that's inevitable. You're constantly developing and growing, and there is no pressure to get to anywhere. And if you decide 3 years time you're not bisexual, then fuck it, it's fine, you know. You know, sexuality is fluid and so is gender. And that's in that same breath, you know, keep on just finding, exploring yourself, and online communities are key, you know. Online communities are key.
Definitely. Straight white allies.
I think having conversations like this is a great starting point, and I think opening up your mind and just listening, you know, I think sometimes more often than not, we're in a world where people often just listen to respond, and sometimes just listening is enough. And I think exposing yourself to different types of people, that person in your workplace who might not look like you, you know, give them the opportunity to speak to you. And I think creating spaces where using your privilege for good is perfect. Like this situation, you know, giving me a platform just to talk about my story is an excellent example of like using your privilege or your opportunities for a greater good. And I think we can all do that on a micro scale, essentially. I think in your workplace, you can speak to someone who doesn't sound like you and make environments a little less lonely. And I think, yeah, just giving someone an opportunity to just talk and not listening just to respond, actually listening, kind of exposing yourself to different types of people. Don't contain yourself into smaller circles. Like, the world's a big place and not everyone has experiences like you, and that's fine.
Yeah,
I think expose yourself, keep yourself well-rounded.
Yeah, great advice, great tips from Aaliyah there. And so lastly, what are you working on? This is yours to promote.
Okay, so first and foremost, you can follow me on Instagram with all my great selfies. And that is, what's my Instagram? So it's at, you know, and then 29.02. It's 29th of February, basically, which is my birthday. So you'll never forget that.
Nice.
And then I'm a filmmaker, videographer, video editor. So I like to do films. I love to do music videos and stuff like that. So you can check my stuff out on my Instagram as well. So I have links and stuff like that all up there.
Aaliyah, thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much to Aaliyah for sharing her time and her experience today. Sexuality is so fluid, and it can be really hard to explore in a world that's constantly bombarding you with heteronormative narratives. Bisexuality is real, it's valid. So if you're bisexual and you're listening to this, we see you, we hear you, we're here for you, and we stand with you. The more I learn about this and things like this and being an ally, I find that, yes, it's about physically showing up to things, but also about doing the work that doesn't make you look good or give you a nice Instagram post. It's the uncomfortable conversations to have with your friends and your family and those around you, calling out problematic discussion and educating people so that it's not just constantly your one gay friend or your one black friend having to do the burden of this work. So with that in mind, let us know what you think about the episode. Rate, review, subscribe to us. It really helps with our visibility. We also don't get everything right all the time, so definitely call us in. We're always grateful for being educated. So if you've got any ideas for topics we could cover or people we could reach out to, let us know. You can find us on Twitter at KickKariarchy. You can find us on our brand new Instagram account at KickingTheKariarchy. You can drop us an email, kickingthekariarchy@gmail.com, or find us on Facebook, KickingTheKariarchy. So we're all over the place. Let us know. We'd absolutely love to hear from you. On that note, we will see you next time, where we will be talking to Zora, and I cannot wait for you to hear this one. We're going to be talking about being a lesbian after coming out of a Muslim marriage. So see you then.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.